Welcome everyone.
Thank you.
To the ordinary council meeting for February. We're being a few minutes past six, the allotted time, I'll declare this meeting open. Kaya Marman, Kaya Yoga, Kaya Ridier, Yana Nook, Nala Kaj, Winjala Nini, Nala Kaj, Nija Buja Bal, Waja Nunga Buja Lala Nini, Kura Kura, Nijie Burawan. On behalf of the town of Bassendean, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land on which we meet, the Waja people of the Noongar Nation. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, both past and present. Announcements. I'd just like to announce that our briefing sessions and our ordinary council meetings will go online in March. This is in response to the COVID situation and trying to minimise any potential threats to our staff and to community members. Community can obviously watch the proceedings via live stream. I'd also like to announce that the RSL will be holding a ceremony at the War Memorial on Sunday, the 27th of February. This is in recognition of the end of the Gulf War. Absences. Tonight we have Councillor Lifka, who is absent for a very happy reason. Do we have any other apologies tonight?
Yes.
Are there any applications for leave of absence?
No.
Okay. Any declarations of interest tonight? No. We have no presentations or deputations, is that correct? Okay. We'll go on to statements by members of the public on agenda items. Public statement session is restricted to 15 minutes unless council by resolution decides otherwise on matters contained in the agenda. Each person is restricted to one statement of up to 2 minutes unless the council by decision determines that they may speak for no more than a further 2 minutes. Statements can be submitted to council meetings prior to the meeting time. It should also be noted that comments are recorded and live streamed via YouTube and that there is no protection from legal action being taken against you should it arise from your comments delivered at this meeting. So I'd ask if any member of the public would like to make a statement at this time. Ms. Brinkworth.
Anne Brinkworth, 90 Ida Street, Bassendean. I can't help this. I just noticed the night market sign at the front. That's what I was meaning for the AGM.
Yes.
Did you notice it out there?
Yes.
Anyone?
Yes.
Right. You can do it for that. So do it for the AGM. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brinkworth. Any other statements? Okay, we'll move on to question time. Again, question time, 15 minutes are allocated. Unless council by resolution decides otherwise on matters contained in the agenda. Again, each member of the public with a question is entitled to ask up to 2 questions before other members of the public will be invited to ask their questions. If a person is asking a question is not present at the meeting, then the mayor can choose to deal with it at the meeting or arrange for a response to be sent by email. I don't believe we have any questions sent by email. Okay, thank you. So I ask any members of the public, if you have a question, to come up to the microphone, state your name and address. No? Okay. I don't believe there are any petitions. Okay. So we'll go on to item 9.1, was confirmation of the minutes. So 9.1, ordinary council minutes held on the 21st of December. The officer's recommendation is that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 21st of December be received. Do I have a mover? Councillor Wilding, seconded by Councillor Ames. Anyone against? I'll declare that carried. 9.1b, that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 21st of December be confirmed as a true record. Do I have a mover? William, seconded Councillor Ames. Anyone against? I'll declare that carried. We have no business deferred from a previous meeting. So we'll move on to external committee reports. The council notes that no documents from the external committees have been received within the reporting period. Do I have a mover for that? Councillor Wilding, seconder. Councillor Carter. Anyone against? Declare that carried. So we'll move on to the reports. And coming out of en bloc, I have 12.2, 12.3, 12.4, 12.6, 12.5, 12.6, 12.8, and 12.10. Are there any other items that councillors would like to remove from the... Okay. So we'll move on to 12.2. Oh, sorry. Do I have a mover to move these items on block? Councillor McLennan, a seconder, Councillor Wilding. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So we'll move on to 12.2. I would ask first if the officer wishes to speak to this at all. No? I'd ask councillors if you've got any questions on this item. Understand we have an officer's recommendation. I also understand that we have an amendment to the officer's recommendation. Councillor McLennan.
I'd like to move the officer's recommendation with an additional point so that it reads as written in the agenda, but then with an additional point that requests the CEO to prepare a draft short-term accommodation local planning policy for council to consider as part of the current review of the local planning framework.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Wilding. Do we have anyone against? Okay, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. We move to 12.3, review of Council Policy 4.2, art acquisition and management. Now, councillors, you will see a printed sheet in front of you, which is a slightly different amendment there. I'll just move to... First of all, does the officer wish to speak to this item? No? Okay. Do we have questions?
If I could just seek from the officer, given that we had a different version circulated earlier, I'd just like to seek some comment on the updated proposal that has been submitted.
Through Madam Mayor, the draft amended policy that was updated during the week is broadly the same as what was presented to the briefing session. The only change that we've basically, apart from some material cosmetic changes and some reordering, the only material change is adding the definition of art and making it clear that art for the purpose of this draft policy excludes sporting memorabilia, which was an item raised last week, and also clarifying that it excludes public art, which is captured in a different local planning policy. So the policy is exactly the same as it was at the briefing session with the exception of the definition of art to address those two issues.
Thank you. My apologies. I obviously wasn't very clear. I was actually meaning the changes to the amendment that had been sent through. So we were provided with one proposed amendment, and then we've got a second one here, which is slightly different. Does your comment remain the same for the most updated amendment?
Through Madam Mayor, apologies. So the amendment that the council has in front of it at the moment is effectively... what Madam Mayor offered during the day, but was slightly edited by staff just to align with the rest of the policy wording. It didn't change the intent of the Mayor's changes, but worded it in a particular way to align with the balance of the policy. But happy to take questions on each of the provisions.
Thank you.
sorry to dominate. Just I note that your previous comment is in relation to the potential leasing out of the artwork, but then the most recent amendment proposal we've got doesn't actually refer to leasing. I'm not sure whether it's implied or whether there's something else planned, but I just wasn't clear on what was actually being proposed and what the staff's response to that might be.
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's a couple of those queries are probably best directed to the Mayor, but I suppose in terms of draft amended provision 4.2, where it says in red, should the quantity of artwork be greater than is able to be appropriately displayed in venues owned or managed by the town, arrangements may be made to allow the artworks to be housed in other venues so long as it would allow them to be viewed by the public. The reference to the clarification being sought by staff was in relation to those arrangements as to whether they'd be for-profit or not-for-profit. That draft provision does not clarify it, and the clarification is still sought.
Thank you.
Could I ask a question of the officer too? You did mention to the officer through you, Madam Mayor, you did mention that sporting memorabilia. Do you mean all sorts of memorabilia that the town might hold that's not in their art collection?
Through you, Madam Mayor.
I can't see the reference. I know you mentioned it.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the reference is on the policy. It's only two pages. So it's on the first page under section one, definitions. And there's a definition of art, and it says, for the purpose of this policy, it excludes memorabilia as well as public art, which is typically comprised of artistic works created for and located in public domain.
Can I just point out that it does limit it to sporting memorabilia? So can we please have it, like it's historical memorabilia, such as medals, works on paper, things like that, that belong in archives as well?
Through you, Madam Mayor, that's a change the council could make. This change in relation to sporting memorabilia was made as a direct consequence of the discussion last week, which was limited to sporting memorabilia. It's open to council to further amend the policy tonight if it so chooses.
Thank you. Thank you for your indulgence. I did actually raise the whole thing about archival memorabilia, so I do stand on what I said at that meeting. Thank you.
Can I ask a question about Mr. Gibson? I took on board your point about leasing and the issues that might raise. So can I ask, in changing the wording of 4.2, the second dot point, does that not leave it open to the administration to seek out whatever options might be available to them rather than to pursue leasing for money or otherwise? That was the intent.
Through you, Madam Mayor, possibly. I suppose the previous version of the draft that you offered did talk about leasing.
Mm, it did.
And without the clarification as to whether that was for-profit or not-for-profit, if council is not bothered either way, it can be left open and it could be pursued on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, so the question I'm asking is, and I did take on board the feedback, and I thought it was very valuable feedback, so thank you for that. So the question I ask is, rewording those dot points in 4.2, which was the wording that came back from yourself today, does that give you enough flexibility to pursue avenues of your choosing?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if council doesn't have a particular position either way, that's absolutely fine. I suppose that my comment was that if council does have a particular view, it would do well to embed that view in the policy. But if council is open to for profit leasing or not for profit leasing, as maybe the best case in any particular scenario, this policy provides avenues for that.
Thank you for that. Councillor Ames.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with the officer's discussion just then.
Okay. Councillor Carter.
Right, given that and we're to vote on it, could I put in an amendment that the word sporting be removed? Could I put in an amendment that from the definitions that the word sporting be removed and just leave it as memorabilia, because memorabilia is not art.
So may I ask the officer to comment on that?
Through Madam Mayor, no objection to that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions, councillors? So I've proposed an alternative, or amended it, and I propose to move that. Do I have a seconder? Councillor McWilliam. Do I have anyone against? So I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, and this includes the, sorry, this includes removing the word sporting. Yes? Yes, okay. So I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So move to 12.3. Sorry. 12.4. Local planning policy number 15, the central art policy. And I'd ask the officer if you have any comments on this before I open up the floor to questions.
Through Madam Mayor, probably only one comment regarding the officer recommendation that the application be effectively held in abeyance for 4 years. Just reiterating previous advice to council that it is totally up to council. On those rare occasions where council has effectively unfettered power to make the decision as to whether it imposes it or does not, there is no wrong answer. In this, it's just a case of there being implications that fall out of the decision, and as set out in the officer report, staff are of the view that given the development of the Bassendean Town Centre is a very high strategic priority, that in this instance that should be given greater weight over the collection of funds for public art. But again, it's a decision for council to make tonight.
Councillor,
Just a query from the communication at the briefing last week and since with the amendment, it appears that there's some reluctance amongst some councillors to support the second dot point where the policy will be held in abeyance for a number of years. I'm just curious to ask the staff, if that wasn't supported, what other mechanisms we may have available to us to incentivise and to encourage development in the town that we haven't yet looked at?
Through Madam Mayor, I suppose there is always the promotion of the opportunities on offer in the town centre. That promotion would occur irrespective in response to Council's November adoption of the master plan. There's probably limited scope for Council to influence outcomes there because most of the land in the town centre is privately owned, and therefore whilst we could promote the opportunities, it is not to say any particular landowner in the town centre is minded to develop or sell. So whilst we could generate enthusiasm and sort of interest, that may not actually amount to any on-the-ground outcomes. Obviously the town does have at least one parcel that it owns in the town centre, being 35 Old Perth Road. And that is something that could be advanced next financial year as a potential development opportunity. But other than that, there would be relatively limited opportunities.
There were some suggestions made around the ability to potentially waive various fees. So, for example, design review panel fees and so forth. Are those options that would be available to us to consider?
Through you, Madam Mayor, certainly with the design review panel fees, that's sort of embedded into the fees and charges and the DRP policy. Council could waive those fees. The town still incurs the cost of using Bayswater's DRP and would still be liable for that cost, but the town could effectively absorb that as a means of passing a cost saving on to a developer. That's certainly something council could do. Applications for development approval is much the same. Council could exempt or reduce the fees payable. that would obviously have an impact on the finance of the town, but that is a decision the council could make.
Sorry, just to follow on that, could you please give me an indication of what we'd expect those fees to ordinarily be? So on, say, like a $2 million JDAP approval, what we'd expect the development application fee to be in ballpark figure and the develop design review panel fees?
Through Madam Mayor, I'd have to check the actual the application fees, but I believe the design review panel fee is about $3,000. I'd expect for a $2 million development at JDAP, it would be in the low thousands, I suggest.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, if I can follow up on those questions. I did mention this last week, but with the policy not being suspended for 4 years, we still have the flexibility, as we have done already with, for instance, the Bassanine Hotel, to waive the 1% fee for art if the developer is providing aspects of the development which are desirable. Is that correct?
Through Madam Mayor, that's correct. Council could have the policy and ordinarily seek to apply it, but on a case-by-case basis seek to not apply it.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. So we have the officer's recommendation and we have before you an amended motion that I put. So, I would like to move my amendment. I can read it out for you. So, basically, dot point one is the same pursuant to Schedule 2, Part 2, Clause 4.3 of the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes Regulations 2015, approves the draft amended Local Planning Policy Number 15, Public Art, and replacing the officer's point two with to request an annual review of funds derived from the 1% public art contributions with a view to incorporate potential projects into budget cycles. And point three, review of policy to be on a biannual basis. So I'd ask if I have a mover for that amendment.
I have a question.
Certainly.
I'm just conscious that we do want to stimulate development, and this proposal from the staff is to try and provide an incentive. I'm wondering whether you would consider adding an additional point to your motion, where I haven't thought about the wording yet, but ultimately what we'd be seeking is to have a discussion about what opportunities there would be for incentivisation, so the kind of things we've just spoken about tonight, and then like there's still the opportunity to make the decision at a future meeting to waive this policy for a number of years if we so wish, but maybe we could have a more fulsome discussion around what our what options there are.
Okay, so I didn't catch everything with the mask, but so basically you're wishing to add another point or
I'm seeking support from you, and we'd have to work out the wording, but for council to have a discussion, have a resolution some stage in the future where we are considering what options are available to us for incentivising development, whether it be waiving of fees, whether it be the waiving of this policy, and then we can have a more fulsome understanding of what options are available. And it may be that we choose to waive this for a number of years at that time, but given that you're now proposing to put that to the side, I think it's worth us having a plan to look at how we can incentivise using those mechanisms that are available to us.
Would it be worthwhile, Councillor McLennan, to perhaps have this policy reviewed within a year on the basis that in a year's time we will have other things that connect to the Town Centre Master Plan, and we might be in a better position then to ascertain how we might wish to modify this policy if we do?
Sorry, I think you may have misunderstood me. I wasn't proposing changing the policy. I'm talking about the removal of the officer's recommendation, dot point two, which was seeking to waive the policy as a means of making the town an attractive place for developers. So what I'm proposing is that we that the officers prepare for us options available for incentivising development in the town centre. It may be this, it may be waiving the percent for art policy, it may be waiving the design review panel fees, it may be waiving the development application fees, whatever it is that is available to us, and then we can have a conversation that consider all of our options and make a decision at that stage.
Okay, so putting some words around this.
Council requires the CEO to prepare a report to consider levers or mechanisms to stimulate development in the town centre, or is it just stimulate?
Oh, the town centre. The town centre is definitely the priority. Yes. Yeah.
To stimulate development in the town centre.
So, if we make that an extra dot point, I'm quite happy to include that. So, I'm assuming you would second with that inclusion.
No, I can second that.
So I'm moving, Councillor McLennan is seconding. Do we have anyone against? Okay, so I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Okay, we now move on to 12.5. Review of various council policies. Gibson spoke to this last week. I'm not sure that he would want to speak to it again. Are there any questions from councillors on this item? Okay, on that note, Councillor McLean, did you have a question?
I was moving it.
I actually do have a question. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and to Mr. Gibson as well. Do you have any particular information, and I know we discussed this at our last meeting last week, in regards to where the overarching, I suppose, legislation or direction from the town in regards to policy 5.20, sun protection policy, sort of is, I suppose, embedded within the direction that the council has?
That might through to yourself, Peter?
For the purposes of staff, we have a health and safety framework. For each event, we actually do a risk assessment. So, for example, if we're having an event in the middle of the day, we'll always provide sun protection. And as part of completing that event in the middle of the day, we might also suggest that people bring a drink, a hat, etc. Is that?
Yeah, that does. Yes, no, that does suffice. Thank you very much.
Councillor McLennan, you're moving it. Councillor Wilding seconding. Anyone against? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So we'll move to 12.6. Which parking designation, Bassendean Oval. Again, I'll ask the officer if he wishes to speak to this or the amendment that's put through. Okay.
Through, Madam Mayor, just in terms of the amendment, staff got no objection to that.
Okay. Questions? Okay, so I'll ask you're moving your amendment, Councillor Wilding. Would you like to read it out?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The amendment contains the original fourth one, the opposite recommendation. Does not proceed to designate at least one car parking bay within the Bassendean Oval parking area in the north east corridor of the reserve. As a bay for the specific use of parents, with trans and or pregnant people, and adds an additional point two. Acknowledges that as part of the preparation of the precinct construction plan for the Bassendean Town Centre, there may be opportunities to provide bespoke car parking control so as to ensure that the precinct is highly accessible and inclusive.
Our seconder, I think, is Councillor McLennan. We have anyone against? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Okay, we'll move to 12.8, which is adoption of the Town of Bassendean Communications Policy and amendment of Council Protocols Policy and repeal of Associate Policy. That's a mouthful. Okay. Would the CEO like to speak to this?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Just to clarify, there was a question at the briefing session in respect to a potential breach of Clause 5, where councillors interact with staff, town officers on a day-to-day basis. What we've tried to do in the draft communications policy is to try and clarify that so that when you're acting in your formal capacity versus when you're as a member of our community. So hopefully that's made a lot clearer under Clause 5 of the policy. Just to make councillors aware that I have had a discussion with the CEO regarding dot point 2.1 in the attachment, and looking at doing an amendment to wording on that. But before I read that out, may I ask if there are any questions about this item? Councillor Ames.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. And it's just in regards to the changes that have been made in red, which I agree with, but I just want to sort of maybe seek a further bit of clarification to see if it falls into line with what has been amended. My role is a ratepayer within the town. There's a contractor that is doing X work, and I go up and have a discussion in regards to what X work is and what's going down and how might that be improved, or just some general discussion about that particular contractor's work. Does that fall into, I suppose, myself being a ratepayer, but also knowledge that there's information within council chambers that we're discussing X, Y, and Z within that contractor's role? Would that be a breach of this particular communications policy, or a situation where it'll be, I suppose, accepted within both ratepayers and a councillor's role within the community?
Thank you, Councillor Ames. I think it would be dependent on the nature of that conversation. If you're sort of having a question about is it a present role model or something like that, that would be fine. But if it was in respect to the contractor, which he's paid under, etc., that's sort of getting into operational matters, and that's something that, you know, expect that you would direct towards staff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That clears things up. It was, more so of that, I suppose, generic nature. But obviously, the town has some fantastic contractors, and it's up to us to be able to make sure, as ratepayers and as councillors, that what we see and are discussing here in chambers actually is getting put into practice within our community. So I just wanted to sort of raise that. And don't get me wrong, if anything's a little bit in doubt, you'll be the first to know about it. Thanks very much.
In respect to the change that's proposed for item for dot point 2.1, so effectively what the Mayor raised with me just prior to the briefing session was some clarity around 2.1. So what we've done is we've gone back to the Local Government Act and looked at the role of the Mayor and also the functions of the CEO. So in terms of the role of the Mayor, one of the roles of the Mayor is to speak on behalf of the local government. One of the functions of the CEO is to speak on behalf of the local government if the Mayor agrees. So we tried to capture that in 2.1. What the Mayor was keen to do was maybe to modify that wording to better reflect what's in the Local Government Act. So the proposed wording is, in the policy, the Mayor is the official spokesperson on the town's affairs. If the Mayor is unavailable, the Mayor may authorise the CEO or Deputy Mayor to act on his or her behalf. So that's the only amendment that I believe we have to this policy. So I would like to move with that amendment.
I think Councillor McLennan had a question first.
I was indicating I'm happy to second it. I'm not sure what you were doing.
Yeah, I've just got a quick question in regards to that, through Madam Mayor to the CEO. Let's just say there was a media that is after comment in regards to the town's affairs. Is that saying that if you receive that particular communication that you'll be directing it to the mayor for comment, or would you handle that yourself, or how does that sort of line?
So any media liaison that is directed towards me, I consult with the mayor on everything. So every position that's put out on behalf of the town of Bassendean, I consult. That's the practice that we've adopted.
Sure.
So
I'm happy to second. Can I just make a minor request for this and other policies? Just the language that we use. So, for example, in this one, 2.1, mayor may authorise another spokesperson to act on his or her behalf. Can we just take out the gender language and say on their behalf in all of our policies wherever possible?
Yeah.
So, I think it's probably a reflection of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm moving with that amendment. And seconder, Councillor McLennan. Anyone against? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So we move to 12.10, mid-year review, annual budget. So I'd ask Mr. White, would you like to speak to this at all? You did speak to it last week.
No, he's fine.
Okay. Councillors, do you have questions on this item? Okay. So the Office's recommendation that Council adopts the statutory budget review as outlined in this report and details in the attached list of proposed budget amendments. So mover, Councillor McLennan, seconded, Councillor Wilding. Anyone against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So I don't believe there's any previous motions notice to be given. Any announcements of notices of motion for the next meeting? No? No urgent business, there's no confidential business. So I declare this meeting closed at 6:14 PM. Thank you, everyone. Very good meeting.
Madam Mayor.